You might not know why it sticks in your mind at that particular moment, but somehow that's the phrase that you're taken to. And I always hope that if I've somehow allowed it, God has actually guided me to the phrase he wants me to reflect on and he wants me to preach on. Well, the bit that I got buzzing round my mind this week was, this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Now, as a man, of course, I haven't a clue what birth pangs are really like. So I'm sorry, men, but we just have to sort of take what we're told about it. But it made me think of what on earth was Jesus actually talking about, because he was a man as well. So he too was only going on hearsay, as you might say, as to what birth pangs were actually like. And yet, somehow, there was that underlying sense of, and there is in any kind of birth, the excitement and, well, the anxiety and the fear as to when it's going to happen. I think of all my four children and their births, and they were all very different. But I can also remember that those months and months and months that led up to it, when first you know that a baby is expected, and then, of course, there's the waiting. And you would really like to know when it's going to happen. And, of course, the midwife or the doctor will tell you a date, but you know, certainly after the first one anyway, you know that that date is a sort of guess. It's a sort of estimate. It's not really the date. It's a possible date. I can remember with our second child, we had dates varying from the 1st of March to the 15th of March as his arrival date. And he arrived on the 16th of February. So I'm afraid they were fairly inaccurate about that. He was our smallest, so maybe, in fairness to them, he was a bit early. And as I say, they were all different experiences. He was born at home, so our GP actually delivered him. And so upstairs there was the GP with Esther as the baby was being born, and downstairs was me with our older child listening to the cricket on the radio, because it was round about breakfast time, and the, as they called them, the MCC in those days were playing out in Australia. Fortunately, the doctor was a cricket fan as well. So he would say, "What's the score down there?" And I would say, "What's the score up there?" But it was a fascinating experience to be actually be there when he was born. Again, it was this strange period of waiting until the birth actually happens. And of course, for poor Esther, there was always this problem of, is it time yet? You know, I suspect that she was very good about not winding me up, but I suspect that she had her moments, and some of you women may echo this, some moments when you thought to yourself, is it starting? Is that a birth pain? Is that a birth pang? Is that a contraction? And then you realised it wasn't. No. And of course, when finally it comes, it almost comes as a surprise, because at first you're saying, yet another false alarm, and it isn't. I was lucky enough for our last child, things had changed quite drastically in the days of children being born in hospital, and husbands were now welcome, rather than when our first child was born. I wasn't allowed anywhere near the hospital, let alone the ward where Esther was. I was very lucky, actually, with that first one, because we hadn't got a telephone. I was a curate, but we had no telephone. You can't even imagine that these days. No telephone. But what I did have was a phone box just not far away from where we lived, outside the hospital gates. So I used to go to the phone box outside the hospital gates and ring up every hour to see what was happening. And I went at midnight and rang, well, it was about 5 to 12, actually. I rang the hospital, and when it went through to the ward, the nurse said, "Well, just a moment, the baby's just being born. I'll be able to tell you in a moment that what it is." And then she said, "It's a boy." So I was on the phone at the moment when the baby was born. And I was very, very lucky, because I said, "Is there any chance that I can come and see Esther?" Because I was only outside the hospital gates anyway. And actually, I was allowed, very, very surreptitiously, and it wasn't really allowed those days, to actually go and see her just for a few minutes, just after Andrew was born. So birth pangs come in so many different sizes. And what Jesus was trying to convey in as he spoke about them was how unpredictable the future is. Because Andrew and James and Peter and John had all said to Jesus, "Look, you're predicting that the temple will fall. You're predicting these things will happen. When? When are they going to happen? We'd like to know." They might have said, "So we can get ready, so we can be prepared, so we know when it's going to happen." And of course, Jesus says, "Sorry, but it isn't like that. You have got to be ready whenever it happens. Just as when your wife is expecting a baby, you've got to be ready for when it happens. I mean, it's very difficult. You probably don't pack your case or your bag until about, well, shall we say after 6 months but you've got it ready just in case." And I think Jesus was saying to his disciples, as he says to us, don't waste time trying to predict when something is going to happen, trying to predict when something major is going to happen, trying to predict when the end of the world is to come. Don't spend your time doing that. Spend your time preparing, being ready. Being ready when the moment does come. That's not easy, because by nature, we'd like to get things done. By nature, we're not naturally, I think, patient. We are people who would like to, well, get it sorted out. And we can't in many, many ways. Life is not something that we can get sorted into compartments and get so that it's nice and tidy and neat, and we know where exactly everything is happening and everything is going to happen. Life is not like that. And our Christian life is not like that either. Just like ordinary life, our Christian life is a life of surprises, a life of getting ready for one thing, and then finding something else happens, something utterly unexpected. What we are learning as we realize the unexpected nature of life, what we're learning is that in the end, rather than having it sorted ourselves, we have actually got to put ourselves into God's hands. Yes, we can prepare. We can prepare, as it were, by seeking to grow closer to him, whether it's by prayer, whether it's by Bible reading, whatever it is, whether it's simply by offering our love and care to those around us. What we are asked to do is not to know when something's going to happen, but to simply get ourselves ready. Ready for the moment when something does happen that is really significant. And if we're ready, if we've grown closer to God, then maybe, we shall find that somehow with the challenge, whatever it is, comes the resources to face that challenge. I imagine In Paris, there are people today grieving for the loss of loved ones. And yet, they will find, I hope, some strength, something which helps them to carry through in a situation they would never have expected and couldn't have contemplated and would have no idea how they would cope with that kind of bereavement. So, our challenge today, just like when you're waiting for the baby to be born, month after month, and wondering what it's going to be like, what's going to happen, when is it going to happen, rather than spending our time doing that, we spend our time getting ready. It's like that lovely picture of, I often speak about it, of the elderly granny who was sitting there and her young grandson came along to her and said, "What are you doing, Granny? And what's that big book you're reading, you see?" And she said, "That book is the Bible." "Oh, why are you reading the Bible?" She said, "Well, I'm studying for my finals because I think they're getting quite close." We too should be studying for our finals. We never know how close they may be. They may be a long way off, they may not. But we should be studying for those finals, seeking to grow closer to God Himself. And we can only do that if we open ourselves to Him and ask Him to take us to Himself.